In the British Museum, there's a map there that dates back to about 1525. And what it does is it outlines, it's really hard to tell it over here, but this is the northeast of the United States. It kind of outlines the northeastern portion of the United States. And it shows reefs, and it shows some of the good harbors where you can, put your vessel if you need to. But there are certain sections of this map. It's old, and you can't see it as well as when it was being used. But there are certain sections that used to have notations like, here be giants, here be fiery scorpions, here be dragons. In other words, here be monsters. Ever since man has gone out on the water in boats, sailors have always had a fear of the unknown, the unseen, the uncontrollable. Do you remember a time when you were really afraid? I think we've probably all experienced that. One of those times where just maybe it's panic, or maybe it's just such a shock, and something that is really, really fearful has happened. I think everybody experiences some fear at some point in their lives. It's a normal response. As a matter of fact, it's even practical. I like to fly. When I travel long distances, I prefer to fly. My wife, she's back in the nursery this morning. I don't know if she can hear me or not. She does not like to fly. It's not her favorite way of traveling. But several years ago, back in 1999, Christian Home and Bible School in Mount Dora flew Diane out from Little Rock. We were living in Searcy at the time. Flew us out from Little Rock into Orlando, and we had a great flight, and it was a good interview. But the return trip wasn't as good. From Orlando to Dallas-Fort Worth, which, all American Airlines goes through Dallas, DFW. So we landed in DFW. We got off of our jet and got on a prop plane from Dallas to Little Rock. Everything was fine until we started to descend in Little Rock, and a horrible storm came up. I've flown a lot. And I literally could not, we were in such clouds and storm, you could not see anything out the windows. It was really, really scary. And to me, what was even more scary was I was listening as the pilot would give the engine some gas, and then he'd let off. It was like, it was terrible, lightning flashing all around us. And when we broke through the clouds, there was the runway. I mean, it was that fast. We got on the ground. Diane says she wasn't paying any attention to it. I looked at her. She was like this. So don't let her tell you that she didn't notice anything. She was just in a trance. But I've flown a lot, and it scared me. 2 weeks later, that same flight number from DFW to Little Rock, the pilot tried to land in a storm, and he ran off the runway, killing a lot of passengers, and both pilots were killed too. I just wonder, was it the same pilot? Probably. Was it the same kind of storm? I don't know, but it was a bad storm. It was scary. And then when that crash happened a couple of weeks later, that even reinforced that was really a scary moment. This morning, we're going to look at a text where Jesus' disciples were scared out of their wits. The kind of person I am, I can just picture James in the boat just crying like a little girl. You didn't expect me to say it was John, did you? Of course it was James. It wasn't John. But I think what really catches my attention about this passage is Jesus' question at the end of the story. The passage is found in Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. Follow along as I read. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let's go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in a boat. There were also other boats there. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." And the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and waves obey him." Let's pray. Father, we all face those moments in our lives where fear can be overwhelming. I'm asking, Father, today that we might be able to know that being afraid is okay. But how we'll respond to that fear is what we need to learn how to do. May we always remember, just as the disciples at that point may have forgotten, that even though we may be afraid, even though fear may be in our lives, we always have you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's break down what happened in this scary boat ride, okay? I know I just read it, but let me just kind of reinforce a few things, okay? Jesus had spent the entire day, if you go back before this story, Jesus had spent the entire day preaching and sharing parables, and there was huge crowds that were gathering to hear him preach. But it was late, and I don't know if you've never done a lot of public speaking, teachers, I know that you can relate to this. This may not be physically exhausting, but this can be mentally exhausting. And so Jesus, having taught all day long, was probably just wiped out. He said, "Let's get in the boat and let's go." About halfway across the Sea of Galilee, a terrible storm comes on. The wind's blowing, the waves are breaking over their ship. They're beginning to take on water. In fact, there was so much water coming in the boat that the disciples were afraid it was going to sink. And in the stern of the boat, instead of panicking like everyone else, Jesus is sound asleep. The disciples, they couldn't understand it. In fact, it seems like they become a little bit angry and they shake him awake and they say, "Don't you care that we're going to drown?" Jesus gets up and he calms the sea. And then calmly, but I can just imagine with notable frustration, asks, "Why are you so afraid?" Now, does anything strike you as odd about Jesus' question? Here's what I find interesting. Jesus' question makes it sound like these guys had nothing to fear. But remember, most of the guys on this boat are seasoned sailors. Fishermen who made their living on the very body of water that they're on right now. If these men are afraid of a storm while out on the water, you can bet there's good reason to be afraid of a storm while they're out on the water. It's like I tell Diane sometimes, because she rides in the car like this sometimes with me, I keep telling her, if I panic, then you panic, okay? But until then, there's nothing to panic. Yet Jesus asked them, "Why are you so afraid?" Is fear a bad thing? No, of course not. We teach our children to fear certain things, don't we? Look both ways before you cross the road. Don't stick your finger in a light socket. Don't swim out too far. Don't run with sharp objects. We're teaching our children to fear things that could hurt them. Fear is a natural response to the dangers in life, and there's nothing wrong with it. And not only is fear natural, but God commands us to be afraid of at least one thing. You know what that is? Him. Look at these passages. Proverbs 1:7, Christian read just a moment ago. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. Proverbs 10:27, the fear of the Lord adds length to life, but the years of the wicked are cut short. New Testament, 1 Peter 2:17, show proper respect to everyone. Love the brotherhood of believers. Fear God. Honor the king. Now, there are those who have been uncomfortable with the idea of fearing God and have tried to kind of take the edge off of it by saying that whenever the Bible says to fear God, it means to respect him. I understand that in some context in Scripture, fear God does mean to show reverent respect. But it's not always that. In fact, more times than not, this is what it means. Don't mess with God. I mean, that is what it's the biblical equivalent to don't play in traffic. You just don't do it. So fear is not always a bad thing. So why was Jesus rebuking his disciples for being afraid? I mean, that's what the Bible says, right? I'm rebuking you for being afraid. I don't think so. He rebuked them. There's no doubt about that. But I don't think he rebuked them because they were afraid. I think the rebuke was because they didn't respond well to their fear. Wouldn't it be more strange if these fishermen weren't afraid? They spent the better part of their lives on this water. They knew how dangerous this boat ride was. And now they're in the middle of this terrible storm and their boat's in danger of sinking. They had reason to be concerned. There's a textual variant in the passage, but there's a lot of evidence to back up what I'm about to point out, okay? The NIV and a few other translations, it's not just the NIV, but a few other translations word it this way. Why are you so afraid? Some other translations leave out the conjunction so, which modifies afraid. But if the NIV and the other translations that include the word so, it really enhances what Jesus is saying. The little word so, houto in Greek, means in this way or in this manner. So literally, Jesus was asking, why have you become afraid in this manner? Or why are you reacting to this situation in this way? Well, how had they reacted to the situation? They panicked. They became angry. Let's see how this played out. In verse 38, it says, Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, don't you care if we drown? Now, why would they ask such a question? Well, some have speculated that they expected, that the disciples expected Jesus to get up and calm the storm. I don't think that's the case. Because after he calms the storm, they were still afraid in verse 41. Now, I don't think they were expecting him to calm the storm. I think they were expecting him to get up and panic with the rest of them. I think that they were angry that because he was calm and he was so calm while they were perishing. That's why they shouted at him, don't you care what we're going through? Don't you care we're going to die? Come on, man. Get upset with us. We've all known people who have gone through difficult times in their lives, and when someone tries to calm them, when someone tries to offer encouragement to them, the person in crisis lashes out in anger, lashes out in frustration. I think that's what's happening here. Why were the disciples angry with Jesus? What made them lash out at him? Jesus identifies it. It was their lack of faith. Now maybe we ought to give these guys a break. This story takes place early in Jesus' ministry. It hadn't been too long since the disciples had been called to follow Jesus. They were still kind of new at this apostle thing. But on the other hand, they had seen an awful lot of Jesus' power displayed. In fact, they watched him heal large numbers of people. In fact, Mark goes into great detail about specific lepers and paralytics and demon-possessed people that Jesus had touched and healed. They had even been given authority themselves to cast out demons by this point. So, if they had seen all this power from Jesus, instead of getting mad, why didn't they ask him to just get up and calm the storm? because they hadn't yet learned to look to Jesus for their answers. They hadn't yet learned to ask Him to help them in the midst of trouble. I have a question for you, and each of us has to answer this at some point in our life. If you want to acknowledge it now when I ask the question, feel free. Here's the question. Do you believe, I'm making it very personal to you, okay? Do you as an individual Christian believe whatever storms we go through in life, that God can use those struggles to teach us, change us, challenge us, and strengthen us? Because whether we admit it or not, it's in the middle of the storm that we learn how much we really trust in Jesus. You know, it's easy to have faith when the skies are clear and things are going smoothly. But when storms gather and the wind blows and it beats us up, it's then we have to examine how much we truly trust in Jesus. When the disciples were out on the Sea of Galilee, the storm was real. It was a frightening experience. It threatened their lives. It threatened their future. There wasn't a thing they could do about it. Maybe that's why they panicked. They felt trapped. They felt helpless. Speaking from personal experiences, I've had storms in my life where there was just a sense of helplessness. I have felt frustrated and overwhelmed with a feeling of defeat. Bouts of anger were often the result. I suspect many of you have gone through storms of your own where you've experienced, you know, a sense of helplessness, a sense of frustration. Because we've each faced those storms in our lives, maybe we can empathize with the men in that boat. But the men in the boat weren't alone, were they? No. Jesus, God in the flesh, was what there all along. There's an old story about an evangelistic meeting where the preacher was explaining what it means to abide in Christ and to trust Him completely in every trial. One evening as he concluded his message, he repeated the same phrase over and over again. He said, "Trusting Jesus in your trials means that in every circumstance you can keep on saying, 'For this I have Jesus.'" A trial comes up. For this, I have Jesus. There's despair. For this, I have Jesus. At the end of the meeting, a young lady responded. She said, "I can't stay. Just a few minutes ago, I was handed a telegram. It reads, 'Mother is very ill. Take train home immediately.'" She said, "When I saw those words, I knew that the message was meant just for me. My heart looked up and said, 'For this, I have Jesus,' and instantly a peace and strength flooded my soul." After pausing a moment, she continued, "I've never traveled very far from home, but for this I have Jesus. And for all the strain and suspense that goes with the thought of mother's severe illness, I praise God that for this too, I have Jesus." At the beginning of the sermon, I told you about a map that's on display in the British Museum in London. What I didn't tell you is that before the map made its way to the museum, it was a prized possession of a British explorer by the name of Sir John Franklin, who lived in the 1800s. In spite of the value of the map, which was priceless, Franklin was offended by the fear that was written by the ancient mariners. And so he scratched out those inscriptions that I told you about earlier. In the places where the phrases had once read but were now erased, "Here be giants," or "Here be fiery scorpions," or "Here be dragons," he scratched that off and he wrote, "Here is God." Fear is a very real emotion. It dwells in the hearts of many, and sometimes too often, it's written on our hearts too. But when we scratch out that fear, and we replace it with, here is God, that's when our faith grows strongest. That's when we'll be able to tell others and show others, for this moment, we have Jesus.